It is November 30th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. It is a good day and a bad day for SEC's Gary Gensler. On the one hand, he is being lauded by Bloomberg for his crypto skepticism in light of the FTX black hole. On the other hand, Virtu decided it can't wait to see his new market structure proposals and decided to sue the SEC as a result. Gary Gensler must be the new Jerry Seinfeld, where everything evens out. If you'd like to see the Virtu complaint, it can be found with the link in today's newsletter. Correction, the first paragraph in yesterday's commentary in this space about Terry Duffy's slip on Fox News was needlessly convoluted and, quite frankly, unreadable. We have edited the paragraph in the hopes of bringing more clarity. It now reads, crypto native publication Decrypt published a story on November 27th about a slip of the tongue made by CME Group's Terry Duffy while he was being interviewed by Fox News' Tucker Carlson. Duffy had been prescient about Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX, calling SBF a fraud to his face at a Boca meeting and testifying to Congress that FTX could lose 85% of its value in a single day. On Carlson's show, Duffy appeared to admit that he bribed the CFTC amidst a change in his train of thought. The title of the Decrypt story is CME Head appears to say he bribed CFTC official. Terry Duffy made the slip while speaking to Tucker Carlson on Fox News. You can read the whole comment in the newsletter on our website with a link in today's newsletter. Barchart and Illinois Tech IIT are hosting an event shaping the future of fintech talent from 4 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. in Chicago today, November 30th. They have a great panel lined up with Matt Dixon, RiskNet's 2022 Quant of the Year, Anthony Termini, Senior Vice President Development at Morningstar, Matt Haraburda, President at XR Trading, Jim Boudrault, Global Head of Data Science at CME Group, and Alexandria Alexiuk, Senior Business Development Manager at World Business Chicago, to discuss how fintech companies can attract and retain employees who will help their companies stay ahead of the technology curve. The location is the Chicago Kent College of Law Auditorium, 565 West Adams, Suite 265, Chicago, Illinois, 60661. There's a registration link in today's newsletter. The Financial Times has a special report, The Future of Energy. The description is, Europe's efforts to wean itself off Russian oil and gas are being slowed by constrained supply of renewable energy components and a lack of storage technology, but modular nuclear reactors and electricity grid balancing offer a way forward. The stories include rising prices and supply chain risks threaten Europe's renewable aims. Costly components make it harder for the industry to hit climate targets and wean itself off Russian energy. The second one is the next big thing in nuclear will be very small. Modular reactors can deliver power with lower costs and construction risks than large conventional plants. The next story. No going back to oil and gas despite new UK exploration licenses. Granting permission for more North Sea production is unlikely to lower prices or reverse overall decline. The next story. Now is the time for all consumers to come to the aid of their grid. Changing the pattern of electricity use in homes can help manage demand and meet climate targets. The next. Developing countries fight for their right to fuel growth. Poor nations are refusing to sacrifice natural energy assets to help rich polluters meet emission targets. The next one. New energy storage technologies hold key to renewable transition. From pumping water uphill to heating thermal batteries, companies are trying new ways to keep power on tap. ICE is launching a futures contract on January 16th, 2023 that is going to really stink. I mean, hold your nose kind of stink. ICE is launching ammonia futures on January 16th, 2023, subject to regulatory approval. Our friends at Incubex want people to know that next week, Trayport will be hosting a webinar on the future of the global carbon credit economy. It will be moderated by Jim Carruth from Incubex. He will be joined by panelist James Tansey, founder and CEO of ClimateX, and Daniel Scarborough, president and COO of Incubex. The experts will be discussing the key aspects of the environmental market sector. The webinar will be live on December 7th at 3:30 p.m. GMT, 4:30 p.m. CET, 9:30 a.m. CDT. You can register with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Our Markets Week Education short of the day is Jay Feuerstein, Breaking Down Managed Futures. In this video from MarketsWiki Education's World of Opportunity event in Chicago, Jay Feuerstein, Managing Director at Budo Group, talks about managed futures and their role within finance. Feuerstein says, the best time for managed futures was during the 87 and 08 market crashes. Managed futures can be volatile when interest rates fluctuate, and since the Fed is slowly starting to raise rates, it could be a good sign for an industry segment which has struggled so far in 2017. Watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Financial Times. A Machiavellian machine raises ethical questions about AI. Researchers have developed a bot capable of the deceptions required to prosper in an online diplomacy game. I remember my daughter's first fib. She stood with her back to the living room wall, crayon in hand, trying to conceal an expansive scrawl. Her explanation was as creative as her handiwork. Daddy do it. Deception is a milestone in cognitive development because it requires an understanding of how others might think and act. That ability is on display to a limited extent in Cicero, and in an artificial intelligence system developed to display diplomacy, a game of wartime strategy in which players negotiate, make alliances, bluff, withhold information, and sometimes mislead. Cicero, developed by Meta and named after the famed Roman orator, pitted its artificial wits against human players online and outperformed most of them. My comment, why do I think this was developed from a spoofing algo? Here is a press release from Trading Technologies. Trading Technologies extends TT Premium Order Types market coverage to include four major APAC exchanges. Sophisticated algorithmic execution strategies available for products on SGX, JPX, ASX, and Hong Kong Exchange and Clearing. Trading Technologies International, Inc., a global provider of high-performance professional trading software, infrastructure, and data solutions, announced the addition of four major Asia-Pacific exchanges to marketplaces supported by TT Premium Order Types, its new suite of sophisticated algorithmic execution strategies. Fully integrated with the TT platform, the highly advanced synthetic order types now support trading of products listed on Singapore Exchange, SGX Group. In addition, support for products traded on Australian Securities Exchange, ASX, Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing Limited, HKEX, and Japan Exchange Group, JPX, will be available before year end. My comment. TT timing this announcement for FIA Asia. Here's another story from the Financial Times. Hubris and the risk of overmighty tech bosses. How can investors tell when a lack of accountability becomes a problem? All superheroes have their flaws. Achilles had his heel. Iron Man, his heart, Superman, kryptonite. For today's corporate crusaders, it's hubris. History is littered with tales of the tragic downfall of entrepreneurs who let success breed overconfidence. This year has seen rather a lot of hubris punished. Take the demise of Sam Bankman-Fried's cryptocurrency platform, FTX, the chaos descending on Twitter following Elon Musk's takeover, or Facebook's metamorphosis. My comment. This is the boomer in me coming out, but the whole, I don't have time to get a proper wardrobe and like to just wear baggy cargo shorts and a t-shirt is a big red flag for me. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The World Cup is on and traders are watching. S&P 500 and corporate bond volumes are already low because traders turned their attention to the soccer game. During the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, U.S. equity trading volume fell 43% when the U.S. was playing, according to a study by two European Central Bank economists. That's not the most in the world. In Chile, it fell more than 99%, but there's a good chance that will be surpassed this afternoon as the U.S. faces a crunch match against Iran. The winner is likely to qualify for the final 16 of the competition. That's a feat the U.S. achieved in 2010 and 2014, though its best World Cup performance was in 1930, where it reached the semifinal of the first FIFA World Cup in Uruguay before losing 6-1 to Argentina in a violent clash. My comment, golf can be so mesmerizing. What, wrong sport? Here's a story from the New York Times. Protect our democracy. Support local news. Like a lot of folks, I've been thinking quite a bit lately about how to shore up our democracy. We voted in November, and that seems to have gone pretty well. Election deniers and conspiracy mongers running in swing states lost. Common sense candidates focused on kitchen table issues won. But after voting, what's next? In this season of giving, I have a modest suggestion. Support your local news organizations. My comment, protect our democracy any way you can, supporting news organizations that are giving you a voice and letting you exercise your First Amendment rights is truly important. Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday was the Fox News video, CME Group Chief Reacts to Sam Bankman-Fried Scandal, in which Tucker Carlson interviewed CME CEO Terry Duffy, and Duffy appeared to say he bribed the CFTC. Second was the Decrypt article, CME head appears to say he bribed CFTC official. Third was the John Lothian News video, catching up with Trading Technology CEO Keith Todd at FIA Expo 2022. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First from Bloomberg. FTX collapse validates Gary Gensler's crypto skepticism. Sam Bankman-Fried fooled a lot of people, but not the SEC chairman, whose warnings about risk and lack of regulation were well-founded. If you're looking to apportion blame for the collapse of FTX, there are quite a few worthy candidates. Start with the founder, Sam Bankman-Fried, who, under the banner of effective altruism, a 4chan thread of moral philosophy, spent lavishly to lure investors onto his crypto trading platform, and then either through greed or incompetence allowed customer funds to be used and lost by a hedge fund he also owned, Alameda Research. So far, Bankman-Fried has seemed to argue that this was an honest mistake stemming from a failure to keep track of customer funds. In other words, an $8 billion oopsie. Carolyn Ellison, Chief Executive Officer of Alameda and Bankman-Fried's ex-girlfriend, is another worthy candidate, along with other members of Bankman-Fried's inner circle. The next story is also from Bloomberg. Virtu sues SEC to get more details on market structure overhaul. Virtu Financial Inc. sued the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission to get more information about the agency's plan to write new equity trading rules. In a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit filed Tuesday, Virtu is seeking to compel the SEC to release details about its rulemaking process and steps it has taken to get feedback from market participants. Virtu filed an FOIA request in June and hasn't received a full response, the firm said in a statement. National securities market participants and retail investors deserve information about the rulemaking process, including the sources of information received by the agency and the possibility of bias, Virtu said in the lawsuit. Without that information, interested parties will be hamstrung in their ability to comment on the proposed rules, including the agency's weighing of the risks to investors and the market. And then finally, here's a press release from Cboe Global Markets. Cboe Global Markets finalizes investor partners for Cboe Digital Business. Cboe Global Markets, Inc., a leading provider of global market infrastructure and tradable products, announced it has completed the syndication of minority equity interests with a group of 13 firms becoming investor partners in the Cboe Digital Business. The investors represent a broad and diverse range of market participants, including leading retail and institutional intermediaries, liquidity providers, and brokers, including B2C2, DRW, Galaxy Digital, GSR, Hidden Road, IMC, Interactive Brokers, Jane Street, Jump Crypto, Robinhood, Susquehanna International Group, Tastyworks, and Virtu Financial. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.